First Samuel chapter number 4, a familiar passage that I want to deal with this morning. If you're online, I'd like for you to share this, because not only does our church need what I'm preaching, our nation needs what I'm preaching. We're in trouble.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to be a negative preacher, but we are in trouble nationally.
Amen.
We're in trouble locally.
Amen.
We need revival.
Amen.
I've been preaching the last couple of weeks. I just kind of preaching on revival. And I'm going to continue doing that this morning. I'm going to take you to a story. I'll read the back part of the story in 1 Samuel chapter number 4. And I'll pick it up probably at verse number 14. And then I'll read to verse 22. And I've got my text in verse 21 and 22. But I want you to hold your Bible there, because I'm going to take you through the text and get you to this point. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 14, and we'll pick the story up there. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army. I'm fled today out of the army." And said, what is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel had fled before the Philistines, and there have also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." And it came to pass, when he made a mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and he broke his neck, or his neck broke. And he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he judged Israel 40 years. Notice as we continue the story. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she had heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed. Her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, and here's the text today, it'll be mentioned twice, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Our Father, I want you to empower me like you've never empowered me before. Hide me behind the cross. Help me preach with boldness in this hour of calamity, in this hour of crisis, in this hour of chaos. I pray, God, you'll help me rise up this morning. And God, that we can get the glory to return. And we'll give you the honor and the glory and the praise. For thou art worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage of scripture, I want the text in verse number 21, 22, that they named that child Ichabod. I'm not going to preach on Ichabod, but I'm going to preach on the meaning of the name Ichabod. And that meaning is that the glory of God is departed from Israel. It was mentioned twice. I tell you, God's people without His glory is defeated, discouraged, depressed. We lack something without His glory. Hey, church is not about this preacher. Church is not about a deacon board. Church is about God manifesting Himself among us. And we've been holding the glory of God. No wonder the Bible says, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. You know what our churches need? We need a good dose of glory. We need the glory of God manifested through this church. We need it in the choir. We need it in the pulpit. We need it in the musicians. We need the power of God and the glory of God. Amen. Let me give you three things by way of introduction. I want you to study the text with me. Go back to chapter number 4, the early part, and I want you to go to verse number 5. I'll bring you there. Here's the scene. The children of Israel, by the way, they were in battle. Hey, I want you to know something. They stayed in battle. And if you're a child of God, you're in a battle. Hey, by the way, they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. You in a battle.
Amen.
It's a battle for the glory of God and the power of God and the presence of God. We're in a battle.
Right.
And they were in a battle. And they fought. And here's the result of the first scrimmage. Just this little battle. 4,000 men of the children of Israel died. 4,000. Now here's what happened when those 4,000 died. The leaders of Israel said, we got to do something. And here's what they said they're going to do. You fetch the Ark of God out of Shiloh and bring it to us. And when they fetched the Ark of God, look at verse number 5. When they fetched the Ark of God and brought it into the camp. And by the way, we'll discuss it thoroughly in a moment, what that Ark of God really means. Here's what they said. They started shouting. And they said, bring the Ark of God that it may save us. I want you to know the Ark of God itself could not save anyone. But it was the God of the Ark. The God whose Shekinah glory came over the Ark is the one that could save. And I want you to know sometimes we try to substitute little symbols for our deliverance. I want you to know we need God more than we ever needed Him before.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
That's good.
Am I preaching? And I tell you what happened. Man, it shook the earth. The noise was so great it went into the Philistine camp. And I tell you what the Philistines did. Here's their reaction. The Bible says, if you read these verses, they were afraid.
That's right.
You know, instead of us being so afraid of this world.
Amen.
And we are. We're shook every time we hear the news. It'd be good we get the presence of God in here and that the world was shuddering us.
Amen.
There was a day when the church, the Bible, the truth really meant something in this country.
Amen.
It really meant something. A man of God standing behind the pulpit meant something. But I tell you what's happened. We've got to learn how to play church, and there's no power, there's no glory. And God have mercy. We need God this morning. And the Philistines even said, woe unto us. But they didn't quit. And I want y'all to know something. If you think the devil's going to quit beating on your family, attacking the church, attacking the man of God, attacking what we are, you're wrong.
Right.
I believe the battle's heavier now than it's ever been. Then secondly, that leads me to a second point. I'm going somewhere, and the third point's where I'm going to launch off. And I'm trying to move quickly. Verses 10 through 15, not only do I see a great shout, but it led to something. It led to a great slaughter. Here's what happened. Children of Israel, the Philistines said this, we're going to have to equip ourselves. Here's what the devil really was saying. I'm going to double down. You know what the devil wants? He wants every one of you in this room to quit, to stop, and stop giving God the glory. He just likes to shut us up.
Amen.
Am I preaching? Like to shut us up. And I'll tell you what happened. There was a great slaughter. Not 4,000 men. But Amy, this time, it was 30,000 footmen. But that wasn't all. But also, Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were killed. And that wasn't all. God forbid, that wasn't all. And they stole the ark. And here's what happened. One of the men came to the preacher's house, came to Eli's house. See, we've seen a great shout, and we've seen a great slaughter. I'm getting into the message now. Then he came to Eli, and he gave him the news. Eli, there's been a great slaughter. Eli, your two boys are dead. Those priests. Eli, I want you to hear this. The ark is gone. And when he heard that news, it brought such sorrow. It brought such a shock that he fell backwards. And he broke his neck. And he died. And then what happened was it set off a chain of events. And then Phinehas' wife had heard that he died, Eli, and heard that the ark was stolen, and heard that her husband was dead. And what sorrow came on her? She went into early childbirth. He sent her into pains. And she had that baby. But she died. And they named that baby. Y'all with me? Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. And I want you to know something. It scares me to death at what's going on in our churches. It even frightens me what's going on sometimes in my own church. And this is a great church. That we ignore the glory of God. Twice it said the glory of God was departed. Can I give you three things? And I'm done. Three things happened, Chad, that took the glory away. And I want to tell you this. These three things are the things that will take the glory out of Taze Valley Baptist Church and any other church if we allow it.
Sure.
Number one, the Ark of God was stolen. How many of y'all agree with me? If they thought they needed that Ark of God to bring into the camp to help them in battle, how many of you agree that Ark of God had a picture of something? And I want to tell you what the Ark of God had a picture of. It was lost. It was stolen. But where did it get? It had a picture of the power and the presence of God. When that Ark was in there, it was a picture of the power and the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what we need more than good homiletics and learn how to do a little neat outline and learn how to have form songs. We need the power of God. A choir that just has talent is a choir with just talent. A preacher that just knows how to give an outline, hey, ladies and gentlemen, is a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. We need men of God. We need choirs. We need our people to have the glory and presence of Almighty God.
Amen. Good preacher.
Amen.
Amen. The source of power, our power. I'll tell you what the source of our power is. Amen. Jesus was declared the Son of God with power through the holiness of the Spirit by the resurrection of the dead. That I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be made conformable unto His death. We need to die daily. We need to put our flesh, let it die daily so the glory of God can be on us all. I'll tell you what happens if fire starts flowing. Lives will start getting changed. I'll tell you what happened in most churches. They're not interested in converts anymore. You know, just come and sign a card. Come up and say a little short little prayer. I don't want to upset y'all, but it's more than that.
Amen.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'll tell you what has to happen for somebody to get saved. You're in this room, you're lost right now. You need the power of the Holy Ghost come on you. And you then are convicted of your sin. And you place faith in Christ. That's what we need.
Amen. Good preaching, preacher.
Yep.
Praise His name, rightly divided.
Amen. Here's what's wrong. And I'm trying not to be negative, Chad, but I might as well just preach. I'm coming down here, man. If we say the Holy Ghost in church, what happens? You know what happens? It scares everybody. They don't have no clue. And they start associating us with some kind of wild, stupid stuff. I don't know if you understand this. When you got saved, you got all the Holy Ghost you ever get. And the glory. I don't go for a second dose or a third dose. I'm not looking for a baptism of the Spirit. I already got that the moment I trusted Christ. I tell you what, it's not that the Holy Ghost don't have is not in you, it's that He don't have you. All else we need more than ever. We need what? I know they say don't go back to the past. But we need to get back to the past.
Amen.
To what our father said.
Amen.
What your dad had. I had him preach in my church before he died. That white haired man got up there. I didn't even know he was your dad. Didn't know nothing about him. I said, I believe that's the Lord right up there. Man, he so impressed me. And he had the power of God on him. I already know. That's been 50 years ago. You know what I can tell you what he preached? He preached the King is coming.
Amen. Glory to God.
That's been 50 years ago almost. And I want you to know, He is still coming. He is on the throne. And we need His glory. But we need the power and presence of God. You need to understand, you can't do it yourself.
Right.
I'm nothing without the Spirit of God. I'm just another guy that knows how to form an outline. And boy, I know a lot of guys can give you an outline. But they're powerless. And they need God so bad. And we need somebody help me preach.
Yeah.
Secondly, let me move. Whew, hallelujah. Y'all all right?
Amen.
Second thing that happened in verse number 18. Eli died. What's Eli a picture of, Brother Zach? If the ark's a picture of the power and the presence of God lost, when Eli died and was lost, what is he a picture of, God? I'll tell you what he is. He's a picture of preaching loss. You know what's happening in our churches? Preaching's a foregone thing. Most folks rather come to church and be entertained. Be tickled a little bit. But I want all y'all to know something. Without a God called preacher. Check the revivals of the past. Check the revivals when there was a Wesley, a Whitfield. When there was a Moody that touched two nations for God. Can I say something about D.L. Moody to you that you might not know? It's amazing to me. He was not polished. I want y'all to know something. He was not polished. I'll tell you how. Now, they put some of his sermons in the Soul of the Lord. They had to almost rework them. Because his English wasn't polished. He didn't have a real formed outline. But I want you to know what he had. D.L. Moody had the power of God. And I never forget when the story about the power of God in his life when he was up in New York City. Some ladies come to him. He had been having revival, having one here saved here, two or three saved here. And these ladies come up to him and said, Mr. Moody, what you need is the power of the Holy Ghost. It shook him up. You remember the story. It shook him up so that he went and got into a room. He didn't go to get a second work of grace. And he didn't go. No, he wanted some fresh oil. You know what every preacher in this room needs? We need some fresh oil. We need the power of God on our preaching.
Amen.
And we don't need to tell people we have it. If we have it, they'll know it.
Right.
And I'll tell you what happened after that encounter. He didn't have one or two saved. He started having hundreds saved. And thousands saved. Why? Because he believed preaching meant something.
Yeah.
How about old Billy Sunday? Man, that guy. Sometimes y'all think I get a little tough. I am a choir boy compared to them guys. Man, he'd stick that finger out. He used to be a baseball player. And he'd preach on alcohol. And preach, man, he preached against everything. And he was a crude guy. But I want you to know, God used him all over this nation to bring revival. I tell you what we need. We need preaching. And when preaching's lost, churches die. Can I say it again? When preach is lost, churches die.
Right.
When we start saying singing is more important than preaching, the church is ready to die.
Amen.
When we start saying little cell groups and little groups and do away with preaching on Sunday night is going to get it, we're ready to die.
Amen.
And the glory is ready to leave. You ought to thank God they're still preaching in this church.
Amen.
And it's just not me. That guy can preach the house down. That guy preached it Wednesday night. Charles Spurgeon's grandson. And that guy over there preached a couple of wet men. I'm glad we got, well, I'm surrounded with a group of guys that preach.
Amen.
When everything's down, preach. When people are hurting, preach. When there's emptiness and dryness, preach.
Amen.
I'm done. You don't have to go yet. I'll get you in a minute. Aren't you glad Lois is quick on the trigger? She's ready to move. Let's look at the third reason the glory departed. Y'all with me? How many's with me? I could say a lot about preachers. They ought to be humble and they ought to be happy and they ought to be holy. But there's another thing that happened, Chad. Eli's sons died. You know what this is a picture of? It's a picture of losing our posterity or losing the next generation. God help us. The Browns, I hope you don't. Brother Brown, you joined this morning. Brother Brown, y'all there? Y'all with me? Can I tell the Browns something? Y'all come to my office Wednesday and they came in and seen me. They thought they bought those three boys in there. I think I got it. I'm old, but I can still remember. I think it was Owen and Weston and Lawson. Is that right? I want y'all to know something. Sometimes I get discouraged, you know. I met their family. Man, I thought, y'all bless me. Just being in my, oh, you boys bless me. And they told me how to remember their name. O-W-N, own. Well, I don't know. I got it. You know why churches are dying? Go across most small churches in America, in West Virginia, in America. And you know what they lack? I'm done. I'm closing. We lack, they lack this.
That's right. That's right.
You know what gets me up on Sunday morning? The knowledge that you young people, the next generation, needs a preacher.
Amen.
Now, I want all y'all to know something. I respect you. And I love you. And if we lose our posterity, we're going to lose the glory of God. Am I preaching?
Amen.
See, these two boys, they died in battle, but they weren't real close to God, were they? They offered up strange fire. Then God finally judged them.
Yes.
And here's what happened. I'm done with the service. Here's what happened. To bring forth that thought, the glory of God is departed. The ark was stolen. Picture of the power and presence of God. Eli died, a picture a preaching loss. But the saddest part of the story is the posterity is lost. And they named the baby Ichabod. What are we going to name the baby today? What are we going to name this generation? I think I'm going to name them. Is it all right? Can I tell you what we need in our church today? Elijah, if you're here, I'd like you to come up. Come on, Elijah. Why don't you stand right over there where everybody can see you. This is your young people. Get out here where everybody can see it. What's that sign say, son?
Elijah.
What else? Say that.
Jehovah is my God.
Is he your God?
Yeah.
You know it?
Yes.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Right.
We need some kids called Elijah. But also we need some kids called Benjamin. Would Benjamin come? Benjamin, look at your card, please. Now, come on, Benjamin. Won't you stand over here, Benjamin? Thank God for you, son. This is the future of this church.
Right.
Turn your sign around. Benjamin means son of my right hand. You know who the son of the right hand is?
Yeah.
One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we can't lose this.
Right.
I'd like for Ezekiel to come. God bless you, Ezekiel. Stand over here beside Elijah. Ezekiel means God strengthens. When we don't have any strength, when we can't make it through, aren't you glad we got a God that strengthens? Then I think we ought to have Joshua to come up. Joshua, you stand over here beside of Benjamin. I really want to preach this one a little bit.
Amen.
This is our posterity.
Right.
Jehovah is salvation. If you're here lost, it ain't church membership that gets you saved. It ain't joining the church. It ain't taking the sacraments. It's receiving Jesus Christ,
amen,
our salvation.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I think we better bring a lady up, haven't we? How about Jochebed? Jochebed, won't you come and you stand, come this way. You stand over here next to these two boys. And you show them what you are. Stand right there.
Oh, yeah. Amen. 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 Glory to God.
I'm about to have a spell. Let's go ahead and get the pen. What we start this sermon with. The glory of God has departed. But Jochebed comes up saying Moses' mama and said, Jehovah.
Amen.
Is glory.
Yeah.
I want to ask you something. You ready for revival? We don't need to lose the ark. We don't need to lose preaching. But dear God, if that didn't hit you, how many of you in this room got a child? Whether it's a little child, a teenager, we don't need to lose them. What would happen to this church if we lost them teens and lost our students? I'll tell you what happened. We lose the glory. If a church is not doing something for the next generation, sadly, we're not doing something or anything at all. I wonder how many. I'm done. But Stan, if you're here lost, see that sign there? Joshua means Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. You need to get saved. And it's nothing but one person can save you, Jesus. But how many Christians in this room, you're really saved? The glory's not really been on you like it should be. But you've been touched by these students. Young people, we need God. You know what a bunch of us need to do is come around this altar and say, God, we don't want to lose you, go away. And for God's sake, we don't want to lose our posterity. I wonder how many can just come up around the altar and pray for the kids and pray for the power of God, pray for the preacher. And let's see if God can do something. Stand. Father, please touch. Lord, you move. And God, we won't. Oh, God. We need a move of God. Touch, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.